Amen. Okay, after a little bit of delay, let's finish John chapter 15 tonight. Y'all want to? Let's open up a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we invite you here tonight, God. It's you that we seek. It's you that we desire. It's you that changes the way we see. It's you that changes what we seek. Spirit of the living God, we invite you in and we pray that you teach us here tonight from your word. I just want to yield to you right now in complete surrender, Father. You use my mind, my mouth, my past, my experience, my study that you've led me through. Use whatever you want just to teach us here tonight. Let us experience your presence. Let us be in your presence and experience your peace, Father. I give myself to you right now, Father, and I just pray you'd move me out of the way and share with us from your heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We already went through this vine and the branches part, and we talked about God being a gardener taking care of his prize garden. That's the picture that was painted of his love and his care for us and all those kind of things. Am I really loud? No? Okay. Is it broadcasting loud? I know I'm loud. So let's skip down. And then, as a matter of fact, last Sunday night when I did that testimony about finding it dope and all that stuff, we looked at, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love, just as the Father, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So we looked at that a little bit. But I want to draw your attention to two or three individual verses before we start tackling this. And that is, number one, it's in verse 11 in chapter 15. I want you to notice what's said here. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. I didn't try to grapple with this to make it fit into our present political environment. It just did. I'm not driving a round peg in a square hole or vice versa. It just happens that this is the way it is. Now, let me change gears here. Back over here in chapter 14 in verse 25, he said, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. And then in here, he said, he skipped down a little bit after the garden picture and said, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy be full. And then if you skip over to chapter 16 in verse 1, he says, these things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. Now, we're going to address these things that he spoke as we go through chapter 15. I want to point out to you that some 2,000 years ago, the Lord came in human flesh to explain the Father, John tells us in another place, so we could relate to him, so that we could understand God, we could tell a little bit more about God, so that we could relate to God. But what's happening right here is he's about to go to the cross, and these folks are scared. These are his friends that he's walked with here for 3.5 years and done ministry with, and they're a little scared. They're a little shaken up here. They don't know what they're going to do without him, and he is leaving them with some things to think about. Now, first he started off with, he said, these things I've spoken to you while I'm with you, but after I'm gone, do you understand what's being said here? You don't have to be afraid. After I'm gone, he told them in another place, I'm not leaving you like orphans. You're not going to be alone. You're not going to have to try to figure this out on your own. There's some bad stuff coming here. Okay? Does anybody relate to that in our current political environment? There's some bad stuff coming here. We're just seeing the can being ripped off the top of the ugliness that's coming down the pike here with our political environment. We need to be prepared for that. Prophecy throughout the whole biblical account has been telling us, and Paul said it to Timothy, Daniel described it pretty clearly, the book of Revelation describes it pretty clearly, that perilous times are coming. Now, is that for us to run, shirt back in fear, or go hide? No. No, we don't have to fear because we're not alone. He's not leaving us as orphans. We're the children of God, and God is a good, good father, and he's going to take care of his children. Plus, what Jesus promised them, that the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, that's with us if we choose to access that and acknowledge that and surrender to him and walk with him. If we're truly, and I want to go back to his teaching this morning, if we are who we say we are, if we're not just producing an image that looks socially and politically acceptable, but we are who we say we are, and we are children of God, and we are trusting in Jesus and the provision of the cross, we're not alone like orphans. We don't have to be afraid. I don't have it all figured out. But Jesus said to them right here that the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. And I want you to know here tonight, church, that that is available to you. I have... read my Bible a considerable amount. I have studied it a considerable amount, but that's not enough because I can't remember all of it. But the Holy Spirit brings the things that Jesus spoke to them to my remembrance. He brings the things that I have learned and applied as I've walked along as his disciple to my remembrance when they're necessary, when they're needed. There is power that comes through the Spirit of God when you need it. My testimony last Sunday night spoke volume about that, that when I needed it to throw that dope out the window, it was there. I'm not special. This is available to you. This thing is fixing to get really ugly. I want us to focus in on what Jesus taught them. Now, it's not every instance that we can inject ourselves into the text, but here we can. Now, if he's telling them, you can go cast out demons and raise people from the dead, I don't think that it's really a well-balanced, healthy view to think, well, he was talking to me, and it, because these 12 had a really specific assignment to start the New Testament church, and they needed some extra stuff. So you can't go along the the principles, however, the specifics and the details will give us something to argue about, but the principles, if we'll draw the principle out, keeping it in its context, draw the principle, we can apply that. We can apply this. The Spirit that he promised is available to every believer to teach us, what did he say? All. How many does that leave out? All things. The Spirit in my name will teach all things and bring to your remembrance the things that I have said. So, and then we move down here. He says these things in verse 11. I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. Now, what are these things that he has spoken? I made a list. Let's just run down through the list quickly. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy will be full. Chapter 13, verse 34. He commanded a new commandment I give you to love each other. Chapter 14, verse 1. Don't be troubled or afraid. Chapter 14, verse 3. I will come back and get you. You can go back and check me on these if you want to. Chapter 14, verse 2. Plenty of room for you in my Father's family. Chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, the life. chapter 14, verses 7 through 11. I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've known me, you've known the Father. Do you know Jesus? Because if you know Jesus, you know God. Chapter 14, verse 25, 26. I won't leave you as orphans. Chapter 14, verse 27, I leave you my peace as a gift. Chapter 15, 1 through 4, I am your source. I'm the vine. You're the branches. I'm the source. You stick with me. You abide in me. You will produce fruit. I'm the vine. You're the branches. My Father will care for you like his prized garden. 15, 1 through 4. You will produce for the kingdom, 15, 5 through 8. I love you just like the Father loves me, 15, 9 through 10. You are my friend, 15, 15. Are you grabbing a hold of the magnitude of what God in the flesh has promised you, me, these 12? We don't have to be afraid in this political environment. Now, why has he spoken all these things? So that my joy will remain in you and your joy can be to the full. How many of you know that if Jesus went to the specific and individual trouble in this instance to speak specific things to them for a specific purpose, that it is his full intention for us to have what he was speaking it for? He said, I'm speaking these things to you so that my joy will remain in you and that your joy will be full. How many of you know that if he went to that kind of trouble, that he expects us to be joyful?
Amen.
I'm not saying that he expects us to pretend to be joyful. I'm not saying that he expects us to be, well, I'm feeling kind of crabby, but there's old Sister Susie, so I better put on the smile. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that blessedness and happiness and true joy on the inside that's too wonderful to be explained can be ours if we choose it. Even with Joe Biden as your president. Even with $4 a gallon fuel. Even with empty shelves at the grocery store and skyrocketing prices and ridiculous inflation. And even with Hannity bashing and Mark Levin bashing the Democrats. Even in amongst all this trouble, and ugliness, and ungodliness, and immorality, even though the city of Kennett's got the kids trick-or-treating tonight instead of coming to, even in the midst of all that stuff, we don't have to be angry people. We are children of the Most High God. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you get on the bandwagon with Hannity and Levin. Although I get there. I don't like the stuff I see, but this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. What did he command them? This is a new commandment that I give you. Love each other. Even when we don't agree. Even when you offend me, even when we don't understand what's happening around us, I've come on here. We've been practicing before worship service, and I'm eager and glad and happy to serve in that way in this church, but You know, I have problems like everybody else does, and sometimes those gang up and get a little heavy, and I'm just like every other human being. Sometimes I take it out on the people that love me the most and I care about the most. Because there's something churning on the inside of me, and I just blast off and let it out. But thank God I've got family here that love me and forgive me. That's not a one-way street. We're going to disagree sometimes. If we're going to be part of this family, we've got to have mercy for each other, just like He has mercy for us. And we've got to forgive each other because we're going to do some stupid stuff. I know I am. If you're going to be my friend, you need to sharpen those forgiveness skills up because you're going to need them. Because I can, be pretty stupid sometimes. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay one's life down for his friends. Who did that? Say His name out loud. Jesus. Yes, he laid the example. And sometimes I have to lay my pride and not get in my way. I have to lay that down sometimes for my friends. I've had to do it. I'm not good at it, but I've had to do it. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Verse 15, no longer do I call you servants. Get this. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Now, I don't want to pretend like I've got some fluent understanding of the Greek language or anything like that, but okay. Well, gosh, I want to read it out of NLT. What he was saying more appropriately was, you wouldn't have chosen me. You know, I walked along there. I saw Peter and Andrew, and I saw John and James and their dad, you know, the sons of thunder. And I saw these guys, and I walked around there, and I thought, you know, I want these guys to follow me. I chose you. You wouldn't have chosen me. I'm almost there. This is one of those distractions to where the Lord's testing me to see if I can stay on topic here in my mind. Isaiah chapter 53 in verse 2. This is the NLT version because they use words in the King James and the Old King, New King James, it's like comeliness, and we don't use those words. So I went to here. It said, my servant grew up, that's Jesus, grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. Nothing to attract us to him. You wouldn't have chosen me. What's he saying there? I'm just a regular Jewish guy. Was a run-of-the-mill, little short, long nose, long hair, bushy beard guy running around out here in the desert. You wouldn't have chosen me. He's saying I didn't look like God. You wouldn't have been drawn to me. It was not magnificent. There's no comeliness. You wouldn't be attracted to me. But I chose you. Chose you, Barney. Chose you. Chose Heath. Chose Russell. Chose Chris and Robert. Be part of my family. So I chose you guys. I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you. Love one another. That's not an unreasonable assignment. Unless you're human. Because we got this nature in us, and we feel like we got to hide this, and we're ashamed, or we're embarrassed of it. But I'm going to tell you something. God is completely aware that I'm this ridiculous, rude guy. He knows. It's not a secret. This carnal nature in here. What he did was gave me a choice. Come into the family. I'll give you the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you, to teach you all truth, to show you a better way. I got a choice. Before I was born again and had access to the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of love, I couldn't figure out why I couldn't stay out of the bottom of one of those bottles. Or why I couldn't stay out of the bottom of that bag. I've got a choice. You have a choice. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy, my joy that's in you, that's now yours, and it may be full and abundant. Run it over. Well, if you love each other, you'll produce fruit. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Come into the family. Make your need known that for a Savior. You can't get there on your own. You can't be religious enough, and worldliness is not going to get you there. You need help. I need help, Jesus. I need you to do this for me. Like I bowed my head when the worship song was playing, and I said, Lord, I can't do this without you. I need you to step in here and take over, because I can't do this without you. I'm willing to stand up here. I'm willing to be embarrassed. I'm willing to be vulnerable. I'm willing to put myself on the line up here and look ridiculous and take the fallout for it. But I need you to do the teaching through me. Now, you decide. Is he doing that? I don't know. But if you'll come into the family, I'll make a use for you. If you'll love each other, you'll produce fruit. If my Spirit's in you, you'll produce fruit. You'll be able to keep the commandment. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What's the commandment? Love each other. You wouldn't have chosen me. You wouldn't have chosen me, but I chose you and appointed you. You should go and bear fruit. You're operating in my authority. You're operating in my power. You're operating under my Spirit. And therefore, take a red pen, draw a line, and put therefore, and swoop it on down here to this, to the next verse, 18. Therefore, since you're operating in my authority, since you're operating in my power, since you're operating in my Spirit, since you're operating in my love, you need to know this, because these things, we're going to drop down here to verse 16, verse 2, verse 1 again. These things I have spoken to you so that you won't be made to stumble, because I've given you everything that you need for life and godliness, but there's some ugly stuff coming, okay? And I want you to stumble when the ugly stuff comes. Well, God must be mad at me because this bad things are happening. God must be mad at me because Biden's up here acting like a fool in the White House. God must be mad at me because lawlessness is breaking out and coming and abounding in abounding. But don't let your love grow cold. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus said it. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But that's not my commandment for you, church. I want you to love each other, and I've given you everything that you need for life and godliness. And I told you these things so that you wouldn't stumble. Because, or therefore, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, which you're not anymore, if you're in Christ, the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world hates you. Verse 20, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they keep my word, they'll keep yours also. Verse 21, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. I used to read these things, and I would ascertain for myself, and it was because of my own insincerity, but I would ascertain that, boy, this must be a really difficult thing to know God. I've got people that I talk to on the phone are like, well, if I could talk to God and hear from God like you do, then it would probably be different. Yeah, because I'm such a religious dynamo, you know, me and God, we're like that. How many of you know that we have a situation arising, not just in this nation, but in the world around us, that is going to bring hatred and persecution to the children of God? The world, that's those Solomon called it under the sun in his book Ecclesiastes, the world, the ones who have rejected him as Savior and Lord, They hate God. I hated God because, you know, he gave me a bad deal. He gave me a bad hand. I had to be born a drug addict, alcoholic. Woo woo woo. And that's the way I felt for years. Why did you give me a bad hand? Well, Adam and Eve messed it up for us. And those things are true. I was born with a fallen nature. My poison just happened to be this. It could be a number of variety of things, but we are born in Adam, in a fallen nature, and we need a redeemer to pull us out. And he said, I've chosen you out of the world, out of your addiction, out of your alcoholism. I posted a thing on Facebook the other day. It said, Jesus caused my alcoholism to be my alcoholism. Snatch me out of that. What did he snatch you out of? It's rhetorical. You can just roll it around in your mind. What has he snatched you out of? If we keep the commandments, if we love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbor as ourselves, walk faithfully in the light. He is the light. We walk faithfully in there. We try to have some act right. We'll have the power to love each other. We'll have the power to keep his commandments. We'll have the power to experience his joy in us. And it can remain full. It's up to you. Do you believe? Do you want to walk with Jesus? Do you want to get rid of some of these things that's hurting you and killing you? Do you want to get away from the ways of the world? Do you want to get away from some of the stuff that hasn't worked out all that good? And do you want the hope of going through the resurrection? Do you want that? Are you faithful to it? Because it's not only possible, but it's expected that we would abide in his love, and that his joy would remain in us, and that that joy would be abundant and full. What is it the brain vacuum lock, vapor lock. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at a turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Are you willing to completely abandon the old way that didn't work? Because what is available to us is that we don't have to be troubled or afraid. We can have the power to love each other. He's coming back to get us. There's plenty of room for us in his Father's family. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I want to follow him. If he's the way, the truth, and the life, I'm going to follow him. He said, me and the Father, we're one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've known me, you've known the Father. The Holy Spirit's going to come to you. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to remind you of the things that I won't leave you like orphans. I'll leave you my peace as a gift. You can have peace even in the midst of crazy circumstances. I am your source. I'll provide everything you need. My Father is going to care for you like you were his prized guardian. You will produce for the kingdom. You don't have to squeeze out some fruit. If you just walk with him, you'll produce fruit. You'll love your neighbor. You'll love the Lord. I love you like the Father loves me. I want in on that. I am in on that. You're my friend. I've heard all my life that God loves me, and I believed it to be true. I hadn't been here very long. I hadn't been sobered up very long, and I don't remember who it was that they were speaking, and I do too. It was on American Family Radio, and it was Steve Brown. I'm going to get through the derogatory remarks. Okay, that's gone. He said, God's not angry with you. In fact, he likes you a lot. And that resonated with me. And I said, God does like me. I've always known he loved me. He loves all of his children. But he likes me. He wants to talk to me. He wants me to talk to him. He wants to be included in my life. Wait a minute. God's my friend. The most powerful, awesome, supernatural, majestic, magic trick working, cause amazing things to happen, split the Red Sea open, God of the universe, righteous and holy and pure in all of his perfect being, wants to be my friend. What a mind-blowing concept. Worldly logic won't allow you to believe that. But if you're willing to put your toe in the water, have a little bit of faith, he'll prove it to you. You can ask some of my friends. It's not easy to be my friend. It's not an easy thing to like me. I'm what they might call an acquired taste. It's like, you know, the first time you drink really good, expensive coffee, you're like, that's me. You're like, yeah, man, you're kind of bitter. If God's willing to be my friend, he's willing to be your friend. That's what has kept me. That's what has held me. That's what's kept me on this road of faith and belief. It's not that just that God loves me, but God likes me, that God likes us, that he cares about his family, that we're his friends, that he shares his life with us, that he opened up and gave a revelation of his mind and his heart to us and opened it wide up. You can get in where you fit in. You can get just as much as you want. David Jeremiah taught one day on the radio, and he said, you know, we all have just about as much of God as we really want. And I thought, man, I need to go a little deeper. Because if I can have all of him that I want, I ain't got near enough. And I still don't feel like I do. But the promises that he's made here, the distance that he's willing to go, the down-to-earth practical and pragmatic nature of the God of all creation is personal in your life and in my life. And he has made the thing that I'm incapable of doing, which is love, the thing that I'm incapable of experiencing, which is peace, the thing that I'm incapable of producing, which is fruit for the kingdom, he has made available. Do we want in on that? I think that we sometimes, you know, that's a really fine line right there between relationship and religion. Whoops. But we like religion. We like rules and you better straighten your act up. You better get that mess cleaned up. You better straighten that wrinkle out, and you better watch your mouth, and you better. But look, we need to stand on righteousness. I'm not trying to give us permission to skate on that stuff, but if you're not careful, you get over there into religion a little too much, we'll get to thinking, well, I just don't know if you belong to Jesus or not, because, you know, if you really did, you'd be doing what I do. Like, I'm the mark. But it's easy to get there. That's not what he's called us to do here. He's called us to love each other. As the Father has loved me, I have loved you. My commandment is that you love each other. And I don't know about you, but he's been tolerant with me. And he's been patient with me. And he's been forgiving with me. And he's been a friend to me when I wasn't much of a friend to him. That's what he's called us into. The family. I don't know about you and your siblings, but me and mine, we bickered back and forth. But my brother's still my brother. And I love him, even though we're polar opposites. And it's the same thing with your brothers and your sisters in Christ. We're not going to see eye to eye all the time. We haven't been called into a religion. We've been called into a family. And we need to love each other. It's what he told us to do. All these things they'll do to you for my name's sake, because they don't know him who sent me. They don't know God. If I had not come and spoken to them, you can put us in there before BC, before Christ. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. They wouldn't even be aware of their sin. They wouldn't know they were sinful. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Verse 23, he who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled which is written in their law. Not my law. Their law. They hated me without a cause. That's over in Psalm 69. In chapter 19 of Luke, I should have used my nail spray before I left home. I'm stopping up, so I'm going to get this over with. In chapter 19 of Luke, Jesus came out of the temple and he's looking down at Jerusalem. And he just begins to weep a little bit. He said, man, if you'd only known the time of your visitation. Man, I reached out in love and forgiveness and offered you the way. If you'd just known the time of your visitation. I don't know about you, but I have people in my life that I care about that don't realize that they've been visited by God. If they'd only known the time of their visitation. You want to serve the Lord? Who wants to serve the Lord and serve Him well? Recognize the time of our visitation. He told one of the churches in Revelation, he said, doing some good stuff here, but I got this against you. You've lost your first love. Go back and do the first works. What was it like when you first got saved? When you first said, Jesus, I need a Savior, what was that like? You didn't think too highly of yourself, did you? I know I didn't. I was just overjoyed. That night, and he said, I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you, and I'm not ashamed of you either, and I'm not disappointed in you either. I love you, and you're forgiven, and you're free, and you don't ever have to go back there again if you don't want to. Let's don't get too far away from that. Because what's the commandment? He only gave one. Okay, guys, we've gotten a little mangled up and tangled up in all this religious system environment and stuff, so I'm going to simplify this for you. I want you to love each other. I want you to be tolerant of each other. I want you to let your speech be seasoned with grace. This is the Lord speaking to us here. Verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. That's not a word we use in our common everyday language either. And what that means is that He will speak well of me. He will speak well of me, okay? He will testify of me. He's going to speak well of me. Over here in the next chapter, he says, He will glorify me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So what is it that we need to do? We need to walk with Jesus. We need to love each other. We need to take advantage of all that He has provided, everything we need for life and godliness. He was producing the fruit in us. He's the vine. We're the branches. We just abide in Him, and we abide in His love. We walk with Him. He produces in us. We got fruit coming out all over us. We're ganged up here together in this family, in this church. All He's asked us to do is love each other. This is not a hard assignment. I saw what you did, and it says right here that you shouldn't be doing that. So I'm being sarcastic here, and you're going, whatever, dude, but that's what we do, is it not? This is a mirror. I'm supposed to walk with Jesus and look in this mirror. And this mirror is going to show me some things a lot of times that I don't want to look at. They're ugly to look at, and it means that I got to change. It's not a reflector. It says right here, Patty, you're not supposed to do that. No, Glenn. It says right here. You ain't looking too good, boy. You need to receive the truth. You need to walk a little closer with Jesus. You need to abide in His love. You need to take advantage of the resources that He has made available to you. You need to tell the flesh to sit down and shut up, because He's going to get you in trouble. The voice of the Spirit is in there arguing back and forth. These two are hostile toward one another. But I have a choice. I can choose my way, or I can choose Jesus. And the power to do that is built in a day-to-day relationship. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your promises. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You've given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Thank You for Your commandment that You simplified these things, Lord, so that we could understand them. Thank You for this family that You've given us. Thank You for this church. Help us, Lord, to set ourselves down, to take up our cross daily and follow You. Help us to love each other, Lord. Help us to be a blessing to You and to our family. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.